3:03, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Monday. We are back at it. It is hot. Man, a shevitz. It's 92, 93 degrees for real. Humidity and all of the other nonsense makes it feel like 102 degrees. It's hot. It's as simple as that. That's all I got to say. I'm looking at this photo of this Josh Shapiro, the governor of Pennsylvania, and I am absolutely nauseated. If you've not seen the screen grab that I put up, Josh Shapiro, who you know is in the running, and apparently he's doing any damn thing he can to get the official okey-doke from Kamala Harris to be her vice presidential running mate, he's now turned around and trashed himself for being pro-Israel. It's absolutely amazing to me. Quote, I was 20. He's apologizing for being pro-Israel when he was in college. What an absolute moral reprobate this guy is. Absolutely disgusting. I cannot for the life of me understand how anyone who is Jewish can vote for the Democrat Party in this day and age. I don't get it. I just don't get it. And Shapiro, what an absolute utter weasel this guy is. I don't know if you fully understand the existential threat posed to the Jewish people right about now. Because when we talk about Israel, we're really talking about the Jewish people, the Jewish nation. Me. You like me? Want me to stick around? Let me decide from, you know, when I get ready to move to Tampa. But, I mean, you want me to stick around till then? Okay. Let's work to not annihilate the Jewish people. Oh, it could never happen. It's happened over and over and over again. Anybody, by a show of hands, anybody read a history book at any point in your life? So this is real. And the Democrats have this Hamas wing that has absolutely taken over. Kamala Harris is not exactly the brightest bulb on the porch. We all get that. There's a reason that for the last 15 days since she was anointed as the nominee of the Democrats, she hasn't given a press conference. She only had that one unscripted moment the other night. I think we still got that. German, we still got that. Do me a favor, just pull it up. We'll get to it at some point. Where was it? Oh, I know. The prisoner exchange was happening. And they all got off the plane, and Joe Biden actually wandered onto the empty plane. Huh. I don't know whose turn it was to hold his hand, but somebody should have been holding his hand, or they should have had one of those little ropes. You ever see that? People take their kids out like they're golden retrievers or something. They have a little leash on them. And then we used to call it nursery school, now preschool, the preschoolers that are out there. Right? They're all tied together. You know, like you're putting together the, I don't even know. But somebody's supposed to hold on to Joe Biden. That's my point. Somebody's job there in the White House is to simply have a tether on Joe Biden so he does not wander away. 15 days she hasn't faced the press. Oh, we've got it. Yeah, she was on the tarmac. I'm just telling you, if things continue the way they are, we're going to need much bigger bowls to hold all of the Kamala Harris words out. Let's hear what she had to say, Germ.
This is just an extraordinary testament to the importance of having a president who understands the power of diplomacy and understands the strength that rests in understanding the significance of diplomacy and strengthening alliances. This is an incredible day.
She's like three of the dumbest people I've ever heard. It's amazing to me. I mean, she's failed her way up. You got to give her that. A living, breathing testament to the Peter Principle. Right place, right time, right benefactor. So I'm not angry at her. I mean, I'd be rather disappointed if we as a nation decide that we should vote for her. But that's besides the point. I am absolutely stomach-turningly appalled by this Josh Shapiro. I'm stomach-turningly appalled by leftists who are nominally Jewish who are turning their back on their own people, who are turning their back on the nation of Israel. You know, I'm leaving in, what is it, 14 days? 13 days. I think it's 13 days. 13 days. I'm headed to Israel. I need to go. I have to go. I have to see what's going on there. I have to bring these stories back and share them. Because we're not getting them. October the 7th, I mean, there are all these innocent people slaughtered. You put it into context, you and I remember back to September the 11th, 2001. I know there's some people for whom that's not personal history. My boys have absolutely positively no personal connection to September the 11th, 2001. Okay, it's like me talking about World War II. Wasn't there. Well, you know, Jeff, they bombed Pearl Harbor. Okay, I didn't live through it. I've read about it. I've studied it. I've heard people who did live through it tell me about it. I know it's important, but I don't have that personal point of connection. So I understand we have an entire generation now who has exactly zero personal connection to September the 11th. Understood. But 300 days ago, were you not alive? Because if you're more than a year old, then you sort of kind of have a personal connection to this ugliness, this vile collection of murders and rapes. And I mean, I don't even want to describe this stuff that happened on October the 7th. You saw it. And Josh Shapiro, what an absolute slug. Turncoat on his own people. God. Now I have to wonder, is he going to be nominated by or select? Well, they don't do nominations over there, right? They've done away with the primaries and the caucuses or the caucusi or whatever the plural is, a caucus. They just pick people. Maybe she'll pick them. Maybe she'll pick somebody else. Maybe she'll pick two people to be vice president. And then, you know, one of them's going to get voted off Kamala Island and we'll be left with the other one. Their whole freaking party has become a game show run by the Hamas wing. It's just absolutely incredible. So, all right. I needed to vent a little bit. I really did. I needed, honest to goodness, to vent. Because I have been looking at that freaking photo of him and thinking, I don't think I would whiz on you if you were on fire, dude. I just don't understand how you condemn your own people this way. It just, ugh. I don't know. Maybe I'm just not smart enough. Because he's smarter than I am, right? He's certainly more accomplished than I am. I mean, he's governor of Pennsylvania. That's like a real thing. Does he have a law degree? Don't all politicians at this point seem to have law degrees? I think that's like the it's like the cover charge to be elected to anything. You have to be licensed as a practitioner of the dark arts. I just know that he strikes me as an absolutely reptilian creature. Disgusting beyond all belief. Man. All right, let me tell you a couple of things that are coming up. Bobby Chacon's going to be with us at 4:33. You know that when I clock out, I don't listen to talk radio. I don't. I don't want to hear anything related to political events or current affairs or anything else, man. I got a big chunk of podcasts that I'm listening to that are theology-based, divinity-based, and true crime. I don't know how you put them together, except when I look at my phone, that's exactly what they are. That's exactly what they are. So, Bobby Chacon is a retired FBI special agent. Also has a law degree. I mean, I don't hold that against him. But he retired, and he went to Hollywood, man. And he's a screenwriter, and he's doing so much now in the world of true crime. And he's popping up a lot these days because one of the big serial killer cases he worked on, Israel Keyes, is the subject now of multiple podcasts. The weird thing about it, I had never heard of this Israel Keyes. And now it's multiple podcasts, and Bobby Chacon's name keeps coming up because he was one of the case agents for the Bureau. Yeah. Yep. Pretty cool stuff. All right, so he's going to be with us at 4:33. Oh, we've got some tickets. I'll tell you what we'll do, because Jeremy was a little bit under the weather, and as I understand it, sort of back to square one. You're feeling better, right? Yeah, good. We'll do it at his favorite time of the day, 4:20 this afternoon. I'll give you a chance to win a four-pack of tickets for the big NASCAR race. It's coming on August the 11th. This is the big one. Isn't it Friday? Gosh, it's coming up like you know what. So we'll give you a chance at 4:20 this afternoon to win a four-pack of that. Lori Warren was just with us the other day. She's the big boss over there at Richmond Raceway Complex, and I love her. She is such a smart, talented, accomplished woman, and funny too. And did I point this out? Governor Youngkin just appointed her to the Virginia Tourism Commission, which is a great testament to her, and it's also a reminder that we just set a brand new record under Glenn Youngkin's leadership for tourism dollars in the Commonwealth of Virginia. Now, don't get all excited. Those tourism dollars, the history dollars, are not going to the city of Richmond because LeVar Stoney and his collection of friends, of course, ripped down all the statues. So nobody's going there anymore to see the monuments, because the monuments ain't there. But the rest of the Commonwealth seems to be doing just okay. Imagine that. Hey, how does Stoney pitch that? As he's traveling around the Commonwealth, pretending that now he wants to be the lieutenant governor. How does he pitch it? Oh, you know, this big uptick in tourism everywhere in Virginia except the city of Richmond. I was responsible for the city of Richmond not getting their bite of that pie because I made the decision to rip down all of our monuments and take them to the wastewater treatment facility. Yeah, I could do that for you. Yeah, I know your community's doing well, but not to worry. If I become lieutenant governor, I can come in with the reverse Midas touch, turn it all to crap for you. That'd be great. Vote for me. Vote for me. There, you can check a box. Just vote for me. All right, so all of that is straight ahead. If anybody can make heads or tails of this Josh Shapiro thing, do me a favor. Hit me up on the Chronic Care of Richmond text line. You know that's always available to you, right? I mean, like 24/7. I come in, I read them every day. I go through the ones that I missed that were earlier in the day or over on the weekend. 833-804-1140. 833-804-1140. Just hit me up over there. Oh, I almost forgot. There's a whole economic meltdown. Gosh, I didn't even put that on the list. Let me hang on a second. I'm going to put that on page two. But I swear to you, we will talk about how your money and mine is vanishing in front of our very eyes. This is the crash that former President Trump predicted. Remember that? That wasn't too long ago. This is Kamalanomics at work. And if you think that you are doing okay, not to worry. Not to worry. Kamala Harris and the rest of her gang will come and destroy your savings as well. Oh, it's going to be fantastic. What could possibly go wrong? It is 3:50, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 3:21, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Monday. I know, I sounded all excited. It's great, right? And it's hot. It's really hot. It feels like it's 102 degrees. Yeah, all right. Here's a complaint about a prize. Gosh, all right. I'll color be shocked for a second. I won tickets to Politics and Pints, but I've received no information. Right. I will pass your... I will pass your concern on, and I can assure you it will be ignored promptly. Gosh almighty. All right, let me... I'm just looking at the Chronic Care of Richmond text line. 833-804-1140. 833-804-1140. Let me share with you a couple of comments here from Mike, 757. Jeff, the Democrats have clearly time and again demonstrated their lack of integrity and even morality. So why should we be shocked by such a move by this unprincipled governor of Pennsylvania? Power is everything to the Democrats, no matter the price. Mike, I agree with you. I agree with you. Look, I grew up in that party. You know that. And I don't talk a lot about parties, per se, but that's how I grew up. I grew up in Oxford Circle, which was blue-collar neighborhood in Philadelphia. We're all Democrats. Everybody carried lunch boxes, you know, not so much briefcases. And I just kind of like Ronald Reagan, man. I've just seen them go further and further and further away from what it is I thought that we all believed in. I don't know. Jeff, the reason that Joe Biden went onto that empty plane, he had to go potty. Well, that's probably true, 804. You know, he just sort of meandered away, wandered away, and did what he had to do on the empty airplane and then wandered back. It's a little bit like the last 3.5 years. You have no idea who's really in charge, and you have no idea who's cleaning up after him. But, you know, ultimately, you're going to get the bill for it. Now, come on. The feds are going to have to clean that plane up. Take a look at the Olympics, Jeff. Here's another headline for what we just saw. Domestic abuse is now an Olympic sport. Yeah. Man beats up woman at the Olympics. Babylon Bee headline. She claims she fell down the steps. Did you see the latest assault on decent people from the Olympics? I'm continually amazed by this stuff. There's an Olympic surfer from Brazil. And on his surfboards, he has the Christ the Redeemer statue. You know the one I'm talking about? The one that stands, what, like 500 feet over Brazil? That's included in every single tourism video, every single tourism brochure, every show you have seen about Brazil in your entire life, I guarantee you, has featured a photo of the giant, iconic Christ the Redeemer statue. And you don't have to be Christian. Every airplane that comes into or exits Sao Paulo in Brazil, you have to see the statue. It's a beautiful statue. It's an amazing piece of art. The same Olympics that had the drag queen version of The Last Supper said that this guy can't have the Christ the Redeemer image on his surfboard. Go ahead, let it sink in. We'll talk about it. Dr. Andrew Bostom joins us. You know, the good Dr. Bostom really, really, really pays attention to the threats of anti-Semitism as they're playing out, especially on international levels. And I'm curious to hear, really, what he has to say about this Josh Shapiro character, because I am sickened. It is 3:26, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 3:33, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is a lovely Monday, but it's hot. I mean, honest to goodness, it's hot. 93 legit degrees, 102 once you factor in all of the stuff. And I don't even know what that goes into the extra stuff, but man, it's there. It's too hot. And we got the potential for thunderstorms for like 4 or 5 days in a row. So there you go. It's, well, what can I tell you? It is what it is. All right. So Monday, we got Bobby Chacon coming up in just about an hour. And Bobby is, as you know, because he's been here before, absolutely brilliant guy. Absolutely brilliant guy. Retired out of the FBI, an attorney and all that other good stuff. But more than that. He's now one of the major screenwriters in Hollywood, and he's popping up on all of my podcasts. Now, I've known Bobby for years, and I love talking with him and everything else. I didn't realize what an active role he played with so many serial killers. And, you know, true crime, one of my favorite podcast genres. So I wanted to bring him on because I've been hearing him on so many podcasts that I've been listening to. And you can find them all. I mean, if you go to your Odyssey app, there are a million podcasts there. They're great stuff. And this Israel Keyes is one of them. God, what a crazy guy. And it became so interesting to me because this Keyes character was in a lot of the parts of the country where Heidi and I lived at different times. And I shared that with her. I mean, it was freaky. So Bobby Chacon will be here at 4:33. Oh, we got a 4-pack of tickets. NASCAR's back this weekend, as you know, at Richmond Raceway Complex. Got a couple of really big races. The biggest race, August the 11th. And I got a 4-pack of tickets for you. We'll give them to you at 4:20 this afternoon. Quick reminder about the Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. 1140. As I mentioned to you, I am personally disgusted, absolutely disgusted, as I watched this Josh Shapiro, the governor of Pennsylvania, apologize because he was, quote, pro-Israel in college. Well, I was 20 years old. It doesn't mean anything. Now, you know, he's professional political slug and is willing to turn his back on his own people. I'm absolutely appalled. I truly am sickened, and particularly given that I'm going to Israel in about 13 days, I can't understand how anybody can do what he is doing. But he's so desperate for power and so desperately wants Kamala Harris, who was chosen for the nomination, to choose him for the vice presidential nomination. Awful, just awful. Dr. Andrew Bostrom joins us, well, every once in a while. I mean, he's always writing stuff and posting stuff and really good stuff, and he pops up because we're happy to have him pop up. Doc, good to have you with us.
Good to be with you, Jeff. I'm glad to hear about your forthcoming trip to Israel, too.
Well, thank you. You know, I've never been. I'm the one in the family who's not gone, and not going to be a vacation trip, but I just feel it's vital to get over there and then bring these stories back. All right. I don't know if we're still having problems with Andrew's connection.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
No,
there he is.
It was a short sentence, Jeff. It was a short sentence.
Yeah. No. Oh, well, thank you. Hey, real fast, I know you got a lot of stuff that you want to talk about and we want to cover, but looking at this Josh Shapiro from Pennsylvania, the governor who says, oh, well, I was pro-Israel back when I was 20 years old. Doesn't mean anything now. I'm just curious to know your gut check reaction.
Well, he was very forthright when he was a young man in college, and said that, you know, based on what he understood at the time, which is probably more honest and accurate than what he professes to understand now, that, you know, because frankly of Islamic fanaticism amongst the Palestinians, he wasn't optimistic that there could be a solution, and he didn't really understand how a two-state solution would work. And that's, you know, from the mouths of babes, you know, with their basic understanding at the age of 20. Now, of course, you know, because it's part of the Democratic Party platform to support a two-state solution against all logic and actual geostrategic policy, he feels compelled to affirm his support for a two-state solution.
I find it disgusting. Has there been anything on the ground there that's changed in the last 20 years that you've seen? I mean, you're one of the best analysts when it comes to this.
No, I mean, you could say, look, as a geostrategic alliance, I like the overtures that began under Trump with the and which led to the Abraham Accords. I mean, it's less. To have less belligerence around Israel is a good thing. On the other hand, you know, I'm always leery about these things. There's been a cold peace with Egypt since 1979, and yet they just discovered tunnels so big going between Egypt and Gaza that they actually fit vehicles through them. The IDF just discovered those over the weekend. So, yeah. You know, but listen, it's better not to have any additional hostile armies confronting Israel in the Middle East.
Yeah. Well, what about here in the States? I mean, there's so much made of the Democrats now having what's been described as the Hamas wing. And, you know, the first time I heard that, I kind of chuckled, oh, that's kind of cute. And then every time I look, it's like, yeah, that's getting closer and closer to the mark.
Oh yeah, we saw that with this during the Democratic primary. You know, of course, they decided they don't need a primary anymore.
Right.
So
yes.
I guess that's all moot. But you did see large blocks of Arab Muslim voters abstaining, particularly in the Michigan primary.
Yeah,
you know, so that's part of. I think that was part of the whole momentum to remove Biden. At the time, I don't know if it addresses the Kamala issue, but it's coming back to bite them. There was a story over the weekend that tactics in a completely Islamized town in Michigan. There was all kinds of voter intimidation by Muslims in support of Muslim politicians, and now the Democratic progressives who had aligned with them are complaining about it. There was some stories over the weekend about that. you know, very thuggish tactics that you might expect in the Middle East or something,
right,
were used to force out, to force votes. And now the progressives, the Marxists, whatever you want to call them, Democrats were complaining about that and charging, that these are voting, violations of, they are, but you know,
right,
these are their former allies.
It's amazing, yeah, that these are they're allies one day, and I guess they're pseudo opponents the next day.
Yeah, well I mean, look, in the region, I'm just looking at a story from the Jerusalem Post that so Israel has decided to go to this policy. Their retaliation, which I think is completely fair and reasonable, is to take out military leaders of both Hamas and Hezbollah, and apparently the IDF is claiming that the Air Force took out another Hezbollah commander in southern Lebanon, who's responsible for I thought maybe he's responsible for some of the missile attacks. It wasn't
right.
clear to me.
But
that seems to be it seems to be a very reasonable policy, which is supported by the Israeli population. You know, there was some interesting polling data out of Israel very recently, one of their TV networks, which found that 64% of Israelis support fighting the current war, quote, for as long as it takes.
Right.
69% supported the assassinations of, at the time, it was Hamas's leaders, Deif and Haniyeh, of course, and also Hezbollah Shuka, who, by the way, was responsible for the 1983 Lebanon bombings, which killed at least 240 Marines.
Wow.
And then also 61% favor preemptive strikes against Islamic Republic of Iran, if just to prevent it from attacking Israel. So Israel is solidly behind what's going on right now, despite their misgivings, you know, their concerns about Netanyahu, particularly not so much the right-left debate in Israel, but the security breach itself from October 7th. People haven't forgiven him for that, and I think that they'll. But for now, they just want to defeat Biden in that sense.
No, I don't want to, but I want to get your response, your thoughts as well. Over in England, I mean, since the last time we chatted, they've had an election in England, and Sir Keir Starmer is now their prime minister, who is all about criticizing anybody who's a conservative. He has said nothing, however, about violence being committed by what are described as jihadis. What's going on there?
Yeah, well, so there was that horrific stabbing of children attending some sort of a dance function that's related to Travis Kelce's girlfriend, the singer. I don't know, dancing to her music, I guess.
Right.
But it was horrific. And it turned out there were some rumors that I believe they were not true, that this was a Muslim recent migrant, and that was not true. It was someone who was born in Cardiff, but was of African descent, obviously deranged.
Right.
And I guess there were some large demonstrations outside of mosques, and then there was retaliatory violence. And of course, you know, there's been a whole history of jihadi violence in England for the last 20 years.
Right.
And so I guess this was a reaction to what turned out to be, you know, something that was not perpetrated by a Muslim. But all Starmer is concerned about is this reaction, this inappropriate reaction. But there's been plenty of other times when this powder keg could have exploded,
right,
where there were all kinds of, and now what's happening is that it's an excuse for the jihadis to engage in very, 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 very violent acts, and there's been no comment about that from Starmer.
Right.
Whatever triggered it, he's only concerned about the quote unquote, you know, right wing,
exactly,
related demonstrations and violence. You know,
yeah.
so It's very one-sided, and he's talking about pouring millions of British governmental dollars into mosques, which is just also absurd.
Wow. It's craziness. Hey, Andrew, number one, I appreciate you being here. I always appreciate that. Do us a favor. Remind everybody where they can check out what you're working on, what you're writing, and do you want to give us a little glimpse into maybe something big that you got on your agenda there?
Well, it's all my blogs are at andrewbostom.org. My books are at Amazon, and I'm very active on Twitter. My handle is just Andrew Bostom. And I am working on a huge translation project of a Quranic commentary, which is probably the most important Sunni Quranic commentary. Sunnis are being 90% of Muslims. By a former, he died in 2010, a late grand imam of Al-Azhar University. And it's it translates into English as Jews and the Quran and the traditions. And based on our previous conversation, Jeff, you can only imagine how non-ecumenical it is. But I really wanted to bring, it's 766 pages.
Wow.
Of just brutal anti-Semitism. Wow. And I just wanted people to understand, you know, unfortunately, what the residue is that we're dealing with. I mean, this was one of the most important, you know, modern figures in Islamic learning, and
wow.
These were his attitudes, and it's never been fully translated. I've translated some extracts from it, you know, working
right. All right,
The Legacy of Islamic Anti-Semitism.
Yeah,
but this will be the entire work.
All right. Well, I appreciate you being here. That's Dr. Andrew Bostom. And like I said, he pops up, not a regular base, but we're always happy to have him on. He's working on stuff. But I'm so desperate to get the gut check responses from people who have seen this image, have listened to this Josh Shapiro in Pennsylvania. I personally am sickened by it. I'm absolutely positively sickened by it. And I put it in the context of someone who is not only a Jew, but is headed to Israel in less than 2 weeks. And I just, I'm nauseated by his absolute lust for power. That's what it is. How do you turn your back on people, your own people? It's 3:46, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 3:51, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Monday. Well, all right, what are you going to do? We're one day closer, sort of, kind of, to the weekend, which is pretty cool. Let me share with you a couple of things coming in here on the Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Jeff, this is Debbie in Kent. It's the person, not the hurricane. Hurricane Debbie's doing some nasty stuff down in Florida. I don't know if you saw, like, 12 or 13 inches of water in Sarasota. Ugh. And they're getting beat up. But if you take a look at the weather track, it's coming. And it's a slow-moving storm. You and I just, I would say, get ready. We should expect a good 3 days or so of heavy rain and strong winds. And the closer you are to the ocean, the worse it's going to be. All right, I'll share that with you. That's all. I just want to put that in the background. I think, let me take a look real fast. Wednesday is when we should be looking for it to make its way up here. Anyway, Debbie says, Jeff, if people actually voted for this Shapiro guy, they should also know some other things about him, which I won't get into because you can look it up yourself. All right. But if Americans are that foolish to try and elect someone who turns on his own, they cannot expect any allegiance to citizens. Here's a guy who is now apologizing for himself. And if you take a look at what he's apologizing for, you say, wait a minute, why are you apologizing for it? Now, if you're 20 years old and you say something stupid, or you do something stupid, or you write something stupid, or you put something stupid on social media, and then 25 years later you say, man, was that stupid, I'm willing to give you that one. Heck, if you said something stupid last week and have now decided, wow, that was ridiculous, I'm giving you that one. I'm the guy that believes in second chances, and in fact, I believe in second chances. But that's not what this is with this Josh Shapiro. This is a guy who is willing to say anything, do anything, because he simply wants the power. That's it, and that's what defines the leftist now, and I'm telling you, it is downright dangerous. I guess we all noticed that Tiny Tim Kaine must be running for re-election again. Well, you know, because you see his tiny little elf boots now. He's running as fast as he can, but he needs an enemy, and today's enemy, of course, would be the beach umbrellas. He's introducing much-needed legislation to regulate beach umbrellas. I know he's got to write the bill because he needs every 6 years to pretend that he actually knows what's going on or pretends to care about people here in our beloved Commonwealth. But here's what I can tell you. If you're really all that concerned about the flying beach umbrellas, two things you got to do. You got to outlaw flying monkeys, like from The Wizard of Oz. And number two, you have to have everybody have a sandbag that weighs 20 pounds, carry it, tie it to your umbrella, and you're done. That's all. It's such a simple solution that does not require federal legislation, which is exactly why Tiny Tim Kaine is getting involved in it, because he knows, as far as most people are concerned, it's a nothing issue. But it's something that he can puff out his tiny little chest and pretend that he knows what's going on and he cares about it. Have we gotten any word from Mark Warner on this? You know, who always looks like he could use a little Metamucil. I'm telling you, the guy always looks like he's making a grumpy. But has he weighed in on the flying beach umbrellas, or does he have something else he's pretending to care about? I don't know. Make sure you're with me on social media, please. I got a couple of stories we'll handle in the 4 o'clock hour that you really need to see before you hear. Let me see here. On X, Jeff Katz Show. Jeff Katz Show over on X. Give that a follow real fast. We're getting back up close to the 10,000 mark, which would be great. You know, we lost like 25,000 in the great Twitter purge a couple of years ago. So Jeff Katz Show over on X, the Jeff Katz Show on Facebook. I want you to see the list of lies that are now official coming from this Kamala Harris. It's very important stuff. Tomorrow morning, important stuff with my friend John Reed. He's here at 6 a.m. Do not miss it. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA.